So we're going to open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. So Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 36. You'll know that since Easter, we've been following a series through on the Holy Spirit. Been reflecting on the person of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? And the work of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? So who is the Holy Spirit and what does he do? What effect does he have upon people? What is he like? And we've been tracing through since Easter. But I think it was a couple of weeks ago I began this, and for the next couple of occasions when we're on this series of the Holy Spirit, a bit of a little series within a series, focusing on particularly on Acts 2:42. And we see there four key elements of the impact that the Holy Spirit makes on people. And we may not have considered them before as fruit of the Spirit, but I think that they are very clear and profound impacts, effects of the Holy Spirit. We're going to read from Acts 2, verse 36. The Apostle Peter speaks. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We thank God for this reading from his word. So the Holy Spirit devoted together. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we have these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. One of the impacts of the presence of the Holy Spirit on an individual and upon a group of people is that those people become devoted. We all know what it is to be devoted, to be passionate about somebody or something. Some of you may have been watching with trepidation the football. Some of you would regard perhaps your partner, most likely you would never say it of yourself, but maybe your partner is devoted to the football. They're so passionate about it, they wouldn't miss it. I know other people who are passionate about watching the Grand Prix on TV. But there are all sorts of things, hobbies, passions that we have. And we can say that, yes, we are devoted to those things. That is what we want to do, come rain or shine, if we possibly can. And then, so there is this devotion that we see in the lives of the followers of Jesus that comes about because the Holy Spirit has impacted their lives. And this devotion is not a quiet thing. It is an intense experience. It's an intense experience. Not everybody will understand. How can you possibly be so passionate, so intense about what you're devoted to? But when the Holy Spirit fills your heart and your life, there is a different direction, a different focus for you. And there is an intensity for you. There is a passion there. And there is also a persistence. There's an inner drivenness, a desire. This is what I want to do. I want to be at church. I want to pray. I want to worship. I want to serve God. This is what I want to do. And you might think, I must be mad. Why do I feel like this? Why do I do this? And yet there is just this warmth within you, this desire within you. This is what I want to do. For some of us, you would say that that's a desire of your heart. And you can't quite put your finger on it. We'd say it's a desire in my heart. For others, you would acknowledge it's a desire in your head. It's very rational. You say, I've thought it through, and this is what I want to do. But I would suggest both, whether it's heart or head, there is a devotion that the Holy Spirit creates within us. This desire, this devotion to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And today we're going to be thinking about devotion to the fellowship. A couple of weeks ago we thought about devotion to the apostles' teaching, and particularly there, this awareness that the apostles' teaching would primarily be about Jesus. Who he was, what he did, what had happened to him, what it means to follow him. They would be devoted to Jesus. But they are devoted also to the fellowship. And we're going to think today about what that means. What does it mean to be devoted to the fellowship? Now, fellowship is essentially about sharing together. It's about participating together. And note, I've put one particular word in red, just to be subtle about this. Fellowship is about together. But it's about sharing together. It's about participating together. And we know that the first disciples shared together. So what I'm doing here is I'm going back before Acts chapter 2 and saying those first disciples, the followers of Jesus, the 12 disciples, and then those who gathered around those disciples and Jesus, they knew what it was to share together. We are told in Acts chapter 1 that those believers gathered together. We're told even the number of them, that there was about 120 of them. It may be, and I'm sure we know that it was true during the life of Jesus, there were at times thousands of people who followed Jesus. But at this particular point, after the death and the extraordinary news of the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, we have 20 who are devoted together, to share together, to participate together. And there are three elements I would suggest of this sharing together, this participating together. What were they sharing together, this group of 120 or so? The first thing is this: they were sharing together a living relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They were sharing together this living relationship with God. Now, sometimes we will speak in terms of, I have a relationship with God. You have a relationship with God. And you have a relationship with God. And you have a relationship with God. But this fellowship, this sharing together, this participating together, was we have a relationship with God. I remember many years ago, a friend of mine, she was the youngest daughter of three There were three children in the family, and she was the youngest daughter, and the three were all girls. And the mother in the family was a particularly strong and quite dominant woman. And when this mother died, the three daughters got together. They'd all experienced the mother, all in various ways. They all had their own stories to tell, privately, about the experience of their mother. But what they chose to do at their mother's funeral was to stand together, and they spoke about our mother. They spoke about our mother. And what I suggest we have in those first disciples, this group, pre-Pentecost, 120 or so believers, is that they had an experience of our Father. They knew what it was to stand together, to come together, and to share together, to participate together in this relationship that they had together. He's our Father. Isn't that great? Jesus, He's our brother. The Spirit, He's our counselor, the one who walks alongside. So they had this living relationship with God that they shared together. The second element is they shared together an active engagement in the gospel. Now, that might not be the best way of saying it, but they shared together an active engagement in the gospel. They knew that they had a gospel. They had good news to both proclaim and to live out. That good news, that gospel that they proclaimed, could, we might say, might boil down to Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Now, of course, in their day, in the first century, there was somebody else who was known as Lord. And he was the emperor. The emperor was Lord. You bowed the knee to the emperor. He was number one. But for these early disciples of Jesus, as the Holy Spirit came upon them, they shared fellowship together, this participating together in this gospel. Jesus is Lord. How do we live it out? How do we declare it, that Jesus is Lord? And so it would be something that they shared together. I guess for many of them, there would be fear and trepidation. Because to declare Jesus as Lord meant the emperor was not Lord. And that was a big deal. So they would want to come together and say it together. So that's the second thing. The third thing is they shared together a life lived with one another. They participated together in a life lived together with one another. After the day of Pentecost, we're told in verse 44 of the passage we read, all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone who had need. So this living of life together was very practical. This is what the Holy Spirit had done among them. So they shared together these three key things. So they shared, firstly, a living relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Together they began to experience of the love of the Father. Together they experienced the companionship of Jesus. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if among the group were those two who lived in the village of Emmaus, who had been walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus on Easter Sunday, what we know as Easter Sunday. And that stranger came to walk alongside them. And it may be that those two were part of the 120, and those two told their story, and everyone else said, you know, my experience day by day is that Jesus is walking with me as well. And they would share that together. And they would say, it's not just me, but it's us. Jesus is walking alongside us. And this is something that we share together. And together they would rejoice in the Holy Spirit. We spoke a few weeks ago about how when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, upon us and upon the believers at Pentecost, they declared the magnificence of God. And I'm sure there were times when they just said, let's just declare the magnificence of God. Because it's wonderful what he has done for us. So they shared in this new relationship. They participated together in this new relationship. The second thing was this active engagement in the gospel. This working out of what it meant. Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? For us, Jesus is now the highest authority. How does that change our lives, our lifestyles? How does that change our values? How does that change our priorities? Some of them would have great ideas and understandings and wisdom and insight as to how that the gospel changed them. And they began to live that out and work it out together. The third element was this life lived together. They began to live out the life of Jesus as they shared their stories, their memories, their experiences of Jesus. So they would work out, let's live together in love and kindness, mercy, forgiveness, generosity. Let's share what I have. Let me share with you what I have. And you share with me what you have. We're all in this together. So there is this extraordinary sense of sharing together. Go back to the beginning. They have a living relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They have this active engagement in the gospel. And the third thing is they have this sharing together, this fellowship of life lived with one another. Now, here's the thing. This sharing together of God, gospel, and one another is known here as the fellowship. All this sharing together is known as the fellowship. That's the word for it. All this sharing together. We might say, well, you know, I'm going to become part of the fellowship. What we often mean is I'm going to become part of the church. Yeah? Isn't that what we'd often say? That's not what was going on here. They wouldn't talk about devoting themselves to the fellowship, to that group of people. There was something active going on. There was a sharing going on. There was a participating going on. And all of this sharing, this participating, this fellowship was known as the fellowship together. And so on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people become followers of Jesus, we are told they gave themselves to Jesus, and it is, we are told, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. Not just to the group of people, the 120, or even to the 3,120, not just to the group of people, but they engage with and give themselves into this sharing, participating, fellowshipping group of people. And so they devote themselves, filled with the Holy Spirit, into this sharing of a living relationship with God. They will have seen how much these 120 relatively small group of people, how much they shared together this relationship with God. And the 3,000 would come in and share in that sharing. They would fellowship in that fellowshipping. And not only that, they would devote themselves into this active engagement in the gospel, working out what does it mean for us now? That we stand together. Jesus is Lord. Values for my life, for your life, for our lives together. Let us give ourselves in this and into this life lived with one another. And the point here is that when they devote themselves to the apostle teaching and to the fellowship, we must not think that all they're doing is devoting themselves to the church as a body of people. I'm becoming a member of the fellowship of the church. No. What they're doing is they're devoting themselves into kind of this active, passionate, intense, persisting, fellowshipping, this activity that's going on. They give themselves into all of that, this vibrancy, this sharing, this life that is there. This life that is shared, they give themselves into it. It's not a cold thing, hard thing. It's not a rigid thing, but it's vibrant and alive. And so they give themselves, devote themselves into this fellowship. And I think, what a wonderful thing they're attracted to. And they give themselves into, to be a part of this vibrancy, this life that they have seen and begun to experience. So at the heart of this believing community is this attractive fellowship. It is this fellowship together, this sharing together, this participation together. They give themselves into it. And it is the normal life of a community that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when people come in, there is no sense of, I'm just becoming a member of the church. Becoming a member of almost a club. But there is a vibrancy in the sharing, the participating, the fellowshipping. And when they come, they give themselves into this life, into this sharing, into this fellowshipping. Now, what we need to do is reflect for ourselves and say, well, how about for me? Is it true for me that I am part of, just for me, not a comment on anybody else, is it true for me that I am part of, that I give myself into this vibrant sharing of life? This vibrant sharing of relationship with God, this vibrant sharing of what the gospel means and working out. Do I give myself into that? Or is it for me that I would come and receive each week, but that's the limit of my participation? Some of us will say, well, I don't know what to give. I don't know how to give. And sometimes the best way to discover how to give and what to give is to watch others and to inquire of others. And we begin to see the wonderful, lovely, generous, compassionate ways in which people are giving and sharing of themselves. And we can use them as our models, good models. Say, I would be like that. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, I think there is such a vibrancy, such a life that is evoked within us. And we don't want to stand still. We don't just want to be sponges receiving. We want to be givers as well, sharing of what God has given to us. And may we today just determine, well, however it can be for me, I will share within this sharing. I will fellowship in this fellowshipping. I will participate in this participating. We're going to pause, take just a moment for silence, and then we're going to sing the hymn, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. Let me be as Christ to you.